Next, compose your email's subject line or first sentence to acknowledge your prospect's inciting incident and resulting object of desire. Subject, shifting to outcomes-based compensation. Dear Hospital CEO, the coming shift from treatment-based to outcomes-based compensation requires significant change in hospital operations. In an increasingly competitive environment, making this shift successfully can determine the difference between long-term success and failure for your hospital system. To begin that transformation, you will need to correlate tests and treatments that have been run across your system with the actual results they deliver. Stage 5. The first action. Be aware that the company will no doubt have tried to cope with its inciting incident, but its tactics obviously didn't work, or your prospect wouldn't be reading your email. Be sure to research the actions your client has already taken and why and how they failed. Use this knowledge to further frame your outreach and avoid the enormous embarrassment of having your solution be something they've already tried. In our EHR example, your email may continue, "I know that you installed our competitor's platform locally in 2011, and that your IT team has been working to upgrade it with the latest version over the past year." Stage 6. The first reaction. Now let's say that the client's first actions to achieve her object of desire failed because of unforeseen forces of antagonism blocking her way. Your final piece of research, therefore, identifies these failed attempts and the forces that thwarted them. Where did the negative forces come from? From what level of reality? Were they physical forces such as natural disasters? Social forces such as competitors, government agencies, technological revolutions, personal rivalries between executives, inner conflicts within executives, some combination of the above? Exactly what stops her from reaching her object of desire? What has nailed her corporate life to a negative floor? Your email to the hospital CEO might then continue, "But because our competitor's software is installed locally on your own servers and requires that additional client software be installed on every PC in your hospital, I recognize that this upgrade requires a great deal of time. Unfortunately, in the months since your team began that upgrade, Medicare has altered how it plans to measure and quantify outcomes. That upgrade will be out of date the day it is complete." Stage 7. The second action. Having learned everything the prospect has experienced to date, especially the way the world reacted to the company's latest effort to rebalance, you ride to the rescue. This is where all your research comes together in the story you tell your prospective client and earns your face-to-face meeting. Fortunately, our EHR platform is cloud-based. If you shift to our solution, your IT team will not need to upgrade servers or change software in every exam room and nurse's station. And our platform will always be current, conforming to constantly changing healthcare regulations and policies. At this point, having demonstrated knowledge of your customer's story, what threw his life out of balance, his object of desire, his failed attempts to achieve it, you have made him anxious to hear your solution. How much more likely is the hospital CEO to accept your request for a call if he receives this email rather than one that simply requests his time so you can talk about your company? Your story should reveal all of your in-depth understanding by referencing the critical inciting incident, the unfulfilled need it inspired, the company's current dilemma, and how your product or service will help the company fulfill that need. Be sure to select the specific capabilities of your offering that will drive a positive change for your immediate customer. If your product is multifaceted, dramatize only those facets relevant to the client. When you recite everything your product can do, you sound like a braggart and lose credibility. Beware of side stories about how your product has worked for your current prospect's competitors. Those, too, may cost you credibility as your client begins to wonder whose side you're on. Bear in mind that companies don't decide to buy products or hire services. People do. To close a sale, craft events that connect emotionally with your decision-maker. Stage 8. The climactic reaction. Once you have your meeting or call, you'll have an opportunity to retell a similar story, this time featuring a customer who faced a situation similar to our hospital CEO's, but succeeded due to your solution. Close that story with the upending climax that overcame the negative forces that opposed your successful client, achieved his object of desire, and restored balance to his company's fortunes. Your prospect will see that, as soon as he makes his own purchase, this future victory awaits. Thus, the sales story closes with a happy ending.
Chapter 13, Nomics. To transform your marketing from ad-centric to story-centric, you'll need enthusiastic buy-ins from the C-suites. To excite your corporate team, simply show them that story makes money, then back it up with data. Proof of storytelling's financial impact calls for the collection and analysis of key data. But exactly what you measure depends on your core goal. Do you use story to differentiate your brand from your competitor? Expand brand awareness? Build brand affinity? Develop leads for your sales force? Identify likely purchasers? All of the above? Your answers determine how you gauge success. But at the end of the day, one metric fortifies the rest. Measuring brand success. The ultimate factor is margin growth. Companies that build positive relationships with the broadest reach of their prospective customers charge the greatest differentiated margin for their goods and services. In other words, underlying costs being the same, a much-loved brand sells virtually the same thing as its competitors, but because it's loved, it charges more and thus earns more. Reach due to amplification for hire distorts the spontaneous connection between you and your audience. So to measure the power of your stories to build brand affinity, focus on three key metrics: organic reach, audience composition, and engagement. Key content metrics. Tools like Google Analytics or Adobe Marketing Cloud collect key content and reach metrics. With them, you can track how many unique people visit your content, how much time they spend consuming it, and whether they pass it along. Platforms like SEMrush or SpyFu for search, or TrackMaven or Anzu for social, enable you to compare your brand's performance against that of your competitors. Using public data from SEMrush, we can examine the success of Colgate's Oral Care Center. According to SEMrush, Colgate's content now earns 2.7 million visits each month for more than 300,000 keywords that prospective Colgate customers search to develop good dental habits or to learn about dental health challenges. SEMrush estimates that if Colgate had to pay for that same number of visits with Google AdWords, their marketing spend would cost another $93 million annually. Without a single brag or promise, Colgate's Oral Care earns customer attention at a fraction of that cost by understanding their customers' needs and providing what they want. Measuring market success. If you market directly to consumers, B2C, measure your success by using the same three metrics mentioned before: reach, total audience size, audience composition, who actually reads the content, and engagement, time spent on content, frequency of return, and social sharing. You can measure this information using content marketing platforms like Skyward and Kapost, or analytics platforms like Google Analytics and Adobe Analytics. If your company transacts business online, Google and Adobe can also be configured to measure online conversions of sales or subscribers. By integrating content marketing and analytics platforms, sales success can be tracked to specific topics, authors, distribution channels, even down to an individual story. Armed with this insight, you can shape your program to maximize sales or any other goal that you track. Overstock, for example, analyzed the ROI on its storified marketing spend and reported that 70% of readers who visit O.info, its storytelling site, then shop at Overstock.com, its e-commerce site. In fact, post-story visitors convert at 7 times the rate of visitors acquired elsewhere and spend an average of 35% more on each transaction. Once you track your brand's storytelling through to sales, you can compare that ROI to your advertising and other marketing spends to see how they compare. When it's clear that your storified branding delivers better ROI, it's time to shift your resources. If you market for a B2B company, integrate your content marketing platform with a marketing automation system such as Marketo, Eloqua, Pardot, or Uniga. This link helps you identify which stories generate which leads, and in turn, how these leads engage with and share your stories. Add to that system a sales automation platform like Salesforce, and you'll know exactly when your story-generated leads result in sales. Measuring lead volume, quality, size, and close rate lets you identify the leads inspired by your storified marketing versus what's coming down the rest of your pipeline. In other words, you'll know exactly what topics, creatives, media types, and channels work and which do not. Measuring sales success. In Chapter 12, we advocated the use of story to qualify sales prospects versus the ratios-driven strategy of X calls equals Y meetings equals Z sales. We believe the latter technique wastes your sales reps' time on the least likely, while they burn through the most promising. So although numerical systems should not determine your outgoing strategy, they can usefully measure your incoming success. To weigh the impact of your storified pitches, ask yourself these questions. Sales calls versus meetings. At the outset, do our inquiries hook our prospects? To find out, measure the ratio of your storified emails and calls to the meetings they generate. Initial meetings versus proposals. How well does our storified qualification system rank our leads? To answer that, measure your ratio of initial meetings to sales proposals. Close rate. When my team pitches face-to-face with prospects, do they tell engaging sales stories? You'll see your close rate the moment you measure your ratio of proposals to sales. ASP. Finally, have our storified methods raised our average selling price, ASP? Are we getting greater value for our core offering and maximizing upsells? To know, simply compare previous ASPs to your current ASP. The numbers will tell the story. Sales automation platforms like Salesforce and Microsoft Dynamics, or sales clouds by SAP and Oracle, allow you to track sales activity. Business intelligence layers such as Insight Squared show you key ratios and trends at a glance. These systems also compare individual sales reps against your company average and identify your most and least effective storytellers. Transforming marketing and sales from rhetoric-centric to story-centric requires initiative, leadership, and sustained investment. To succeed, you must consistently measure the metrics appropriate to your strategic goals. Once you see progressive improvement, you can confidently fund your storytelling into the future.
Conclusion. Tomorrow. The future started yesterday. 2 centuries of print advertising built the ad-supported media model that underwrote our radio and television networks. By the 1990s, commercials peaked in selling power. Ad-soaked broadcast reached the saturation point, and the slow, inevitable decline of advertising soon followed. The future of brand storytelling will no doubt trace a similar arc. As this technique matures, the scope and sources of capital available to storytelling will shift strongly in its favor. With these new resources, storytellers will accelerate the demise of the ad-driven model. While they inspire innovation in radical media such as augmented reality, virtual reality, and gaming, these ideas will in turn inspire technologies we can't yet imagine that will give more people more time in their day to consume more storified knowledge and entertainment. Done right, brand storytelling will not only power muscular business outcomes, but give marketers unimagined opportunities. The coming creative renaissance. What will happen when companies shift a major chunk of the $600 billion they spend on advertising to sustained brand storytelling? First, marketers will no longer have to rent audiences. In the old world of traditional media, companies spent a tiny minority of their budget on creating compelling advertising, then the vast majority on buying distribution for those ads. Over time, this lopsided allocation made media buying agencies many times larger than the creative agencies that actually produced the ads. But in a world where thousands, maybe millions, share stories they love, the balance reverses. Tomorrow's story-driven marketers will invest the balance of their budgets in creating stories and a declining share in distributing them. This envisions a brilliant future for creatives. Season 1 of Westworld and Season 6 of Game of Thrones cost HBO about $100 million each, while the first 10 episodes of Netflix's The Crown topped $130 million. In fact, when Netflix added up all the budgets for its 2016 roster of original programming, House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, and so on, the total hit $6 billion. Those numbers may seem large until you realize that in the same year, Procter & Gamble spent $9.7 billion in advertising. Now, imagine the selling power that brands like P&G would have if they invested in the HBO-Netflix level of writing, acting, directing, and production values for their marketing stories. Creatives who work with brands need to align their craft with their patron, the CMO. The stories they craft must hook, hold, and pay off, but their ultimate goal is a positive, measurable business result. Creatives need to understand how marketers think. CMOs need to break away from campaign-driven approaches and think in story arcs. The streaming screen. The future of TV is apps. Tim Cook, CEO, Apple Inc. On September 9th, 2015, Apple CEO Tim Cook introduced the newest version of Apple TV. The device does more than allow consumers to access television and movies from Apple or watch shows via Netflix, Hulu, and HBO. It allows anyone, anywhere, to fill their train ride, elliptical workout, or evening relaxation with the stories they desire. Today, if a financial planning company like BlackRock wants to reach its customers before they head for work each morning, it buys time on CNBC's Squawk Box and inserts its ads in the breaks. Now, suppose BlackRock produced a high-quality video program filled with compelling current business news stories and streamed it directly to consumers. Instead of interrupting their customers with advertising, BlackRock could integrate products, such as their customized portfolio tracking and trading tools, into the show and create a one-stop shop for their customers. With that, Business News by BlackRock would work like product placement in feature films, only far better. The new media. The old new media simply replicate broadcast television on digital platforms. The new media leap into the great beyond of virtual and augmented realities. "I'm not interested in the novelty factor," said virtual reality filmmaker Chris Milk. "I'm interested in a medium that could be more powerful than cinema, than theater, than literature, than any other medium we've had before to connect one human being to another." Reality-altering devices sold by Samsung Gear, HTC Vive, and PlayStation VR turned consumers into protagonists of video games played out in virtual realities or into active observers of VR documentaries. In both cases, technology hugely heightens the story's events, and with it, the audience's experience. For the CMO, VR and augmented reality will extend marketing reach into an otherwise unreachable block of consumers and impact them with stories told in never-seen-before settings. In fact, this medium's potential to market to gamers and other seekers of peak experience prompted Facebook to acquire Oculus for $2 billion. Head out on the highway. Why Tesla and Mercedes invest in driverless cars is obvious. But why are Google and Apple doing the same? According to the U.S. Census, 139 million American workers spend an average of 52 minutes driving back and forth to work each day. To put that amount of time in perspective, the Washington Post computed that in 2014, American commuters spent 1.8 trillion minutes in commute. This equals 29.6 billion hours, 1.2 billion days, or 3.4 million years. Therefore, the most powerful technological innovation of the coming decade won't change the story experience. It will instead convert drive time to story time. While today's drivers may enjoy podcasts as they navigate traffic, tomorrow's will binge watch their favorite Netflix series, or perhaps one created by an innovative brand, as their self-driving cars carry them on their most efficient route. For Google and Apple, the self-driving car represents a daily interface with 139 million captive consumers in the United States alone. Moreover, these new geolocated consumer connections may influence consumers as they drive toward potential points of purchase. No turning back. In the past, televisions colonized the living room, sending radios in retreat to the dashboard. Now that always-on, on-demand, ad-free programming streams to our smart screens, there's no turning back to broadcast commercials. Executives who pine for the good old days of interrupt advertising are future blind. The consumer shift to ad-free media will only accelerate. And so the brand shift to story-driven models must fast-track with them or die. This transformation will not come easily. Creating a successful story-centric strategy requires risk, trial, error, and persistent effort over time. So CMOs face the arduous task educating their teams on the cultural shifts that demand story-centric marketing, the techniques of story design, why story fits the consumer's mind, the tactics of storyfied marketing, and how the purpose-told story motivates purchases. That said, marketers who make Storynomics work have an extraordinary opportunity. Instead of wasting millions on interrupt advertising, what if you could thrive in your business and at the same time do good in this wanting world. Suppose you were to stop bragging about your products and promising fictional futures, and instead tell stories that enrich your audiences with humanistic insight. Suppose you could build brand affinity with your target audience and at the same time touch their hearts in ways that deepen their lives. Take inspiration from works like Dove Real Beauty Sketches, Always's hashtag like a girl, and Ariel's hashtag share the load, and create stories you deeply believe in. Then tell them with double-edged purpose, brand appreciation, and social change. You, the listeners of this book, will shape the future of brand storytelling. So we extend the same advice that thousands of the world's best fiction writers have been given at the McKee Story Seminars. Write the truth.
This has been a Hachette Audio production of Storynomics, story-driven marketing in the post-advertising world. Written and read by Robert McKee and Tom Gerace. Produced by Cheryl Smith. Directed by David Rapkin. Recorded by Charles McCrory. Post-production by Beat Street NYC. Storynomics is also available in print and digital formats from 12, a division of Hachette Book Group. For more Hachette Audio productions, visit us at hachetteaudio.com. Thank you for listening. Text copyright 2018 by Robert McKee and Thomas Gerace. Audio production copyright 2018, Hachette Audio, all rights reserved. Hachette Book Group supports the right to free expression and the value of copyright. The purpose of copyright is to encourage writers and artists to produce the creative works that enrich our culture. The duplicating, uploading, and distribution of this audiobook without permission is a theft of the author's intellectual property. If you would like permission to use material from the audiobook other than for review purposes, please contact permissions@hbgusa.com. Thank you for your support of the author's rights.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.